Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of our Out With Burnout monthly podcast. This is the 6th of a series of 10 episodes focusing on improving well-being by learning skills for personal wellness improvement. I'm Phil Abraham, co-director of the Department of Pediatrics, Office of Faculty Development, and I'm joined today again by Catherine Veras-Falderic, the other COFD co-director. We are your hosts today. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Phil, and welcome, everybody. We are now halfway through our 10-episode series, and I'm loving all these discussions. Have you?
They're great.
I know. They have provoked a lot of thought, introspection, and real self-reflection every time that we have a different topic. So health and wellness are very important to our office and our department, and I am definitely looking forward to more conversations. But before we start, it's time for Tell Me Something Good. So, Phil, do you have any feel-good stories today?
I do. I went ahead and thought I'd share something that I just observed from my colleagues. We work in a hospital. One of our hospital sites serves a very underserved area. And this hospitalist came in and started just filling up a basket that we often have for patients with toys and other things for kids. And she shared with me that she just went shopping with her daughter. Her daughter is 2, maybe 3 years old, and together her daughter gets to choose different items to bring to the hospital, and together that is something that they do every month, just to, again, teach sharing and kindness. And it was just a great testament to how our colleagues here care not only about their patients, but also about their mission and how they share it with their families. And I thought that was really cool to see. And it would inspire me to be more, a little bit more intentional with how I interact with my family and sharing outside of just words, just actions that that display what I care about.
Yeah, that's very nice. That's a very good feel-good story. I've done that with my children, like for the holiday season, but then, you know, the rest of the year you sometimes forget, and it's good. I remember years ago when they were little, we did this back to school intervention where we would do a kindness intervention, and it lasted for a short period of time, but then you fall off track. So those are good things to remember to see. Yeah. Yeah. It makes you feel good about the people around you. My feel-good story is not that fancy. It's a little bit more, selfish.
That's fine. Self-care is...
a little self-serving. I today, I have to say, I am very happy because that we had been working really hard for this grant, and then we heard that it got positively reviewed and we were about to be funded, and finally today I got the official news that it's awarded. So we have our funding announcement and the notice of award. So it makes me feel good, right? It's like sometimes you have like a lot of little failures, but to have like one nice thing that your effort is valued, it's exciting. So that's my story for today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats. I think that's it's awesome because I know you worked really hard for that.
I know.
On that note, that's something to be grateful for. And I thought we could just sort of maybe incorporate that aspect of gratitude within our meditation today. We do this with every podcast. And so before we move forward with the discussions, let's pause for a moment of reflection and gratitude. So I invite you guys to just close your eyes. And as you keep your eyes closed, take a good deep breath in and then out. And then on the count of 3, 2, 3, in, breathe out on 3. Take a deep breath in and then out. And as we continue our deep breathing patterns, I just want you to be a little bit more aware of your body, of how you're sitting or standing. Be mindful of where your hands are. Keep them calm. And as we continue this meditation, want to focus on someone, someone of authority that you may have encountered. It could be somebody like a parent, a teacher, an older sibling, a friend. And imagine them standing in front of you. And as you do that, just take a moment to appreciate how they've affected your growth to where you are today. What about them has made you a little bit more aware of yourself, of your strengths, or your weaknesses? And allow this time to just open your heart and to express gratitude for having this person in your life. At the risk of sounding cheesy, just want to go ahead and just imagine you connecting your heart to theirs with a little string. And with that, common thread that unites you both will just emerge. Again, how has that person allowed you to be this person you are today? And as you continue to take a deep breath in and out, allow yourself to surround yourself with love and gratefulness. All right, on the count of three, just open your eyes. 2, 3. And let's start our talk today.
I feel refreshed and grateful and connected. So we are now ready to dive into our wellness domain discussion. And today we are focusing on strengths. And more specifically, we are focusing on character strengths to begin with, and our own personal strengths.
Yeah, and there are overall four different types of personal strengths. There are character strengths, your talents, your mental preferences, and then your intelligence. As Catherine said, our focus will be on character strengths, which are personality traits that are positive, helpful, and desirable.
Yes, Dr. Peterson and Seligman describe character strengths as a family of positively and morally valued traits that together constitute good character. So they really put these together like under... they identified 24 strengths that they classify it under like 6 core values. And the first core value is wisdom and knowledge. And then under that, you're talking about creativity, curiosity, judgment, love of learning, and perspective. Then you have humanity, is that like that second virtue? And that's love, kindness, and social intelligence. Then you have courage. Courage is bravery, perseverance, honesty, and zest. And then you have justice. Justice goes along with like teamwork, fairness, leadership. The fifth one is temperance. I like that word, temperance. And that goes along with like forgiveness, humility, prudence, and self-regulation. And then the last one is transcendence. And that one's appreciation of beauty and excellence. Appreciation of like things that are beautiful in your life. Excellence, gratitude, hope, humor, and spirituality.
Yeah, and this classification system is called Values in Action, or VIA, and you can find them on a website, theviacharacter.org. You can go there and explore your character strengths for free. And knowing your own strengths out of these six virtues, these core groups, is very important, as self-awareness of these strengths can help you learn how to develop them and use them to boost positive emotions, improve your well-being, and also achieve your goals. Kind of the idea that your strengths just build on strengths.
Yeah, and actually there are studies that show that character strengths positively relate to job performance. Like this one study published in Frontiers of Psychology, not so long ago actually, looked at a nationally representative sample of about 870 adults, and they're all employed, and they analyzed data on character strengths and then measures of job satisfaction and life satisfaction. And then there were three different time points separated by a year. And the results show that differences in character strengths positively relate to content and prospective job and life satisfaction. They suggest that understanding character strengths could play an important role in vocational and career counseling.
So there are also multiple studies in patients with chronic illnesses that suggest that character strengths-based interventions were effective in improving the self-esteem of patients with chronic illnesses and also significantly enhanced their general self-efficacy, as which also reduced their depression. There are also other studies exploring the benefits of these character strengths-based interventions in school. And one study's results suggest that character strengths were protective factors against behavior problems in early adolescence.
That's so interesting. Like, you know, your character strengths can affect your job performance. And I never really think about it that way. But I guess if you really think about other people and their strengths, you can think about that, how you can tie their job satisfaction, their performance, to the strengths that you see in their character. And I think the same thing with children and people with chronic disease.
Yeah. And think just looking at like your kids, for instance, and then you're like, oh, wow, like Johnny here is really good at being, at being a good listener. Let's put a very simple example. And he might be really good at being coached right now. And at this stage, this is something that may be beneficial. Maybe he'll be wanting to learn something that's easily coachable, whereas my other kid is a little bit more obstinate, and that may be, you know, that's a good thing. But at what point do I introduce things to, you know, this other child that may that I would not for my first? And so really identifying character strengths in others, such as your children, will help them thrive. And I see this being extrapolated into other coworkers. And let's say you're running a group of, you know, your team, and you find that this person is able to do this better. And why is that? And how can I lead this person to success?
Yeah. And then turning it around, and how you can then find the people that you were seeing the negative things first, how you can find their character strengths and look for them. When talking about the chronic illness, I do know that there are studies in cancer patients. There's one in breast cancer that shows that positive character strengths is also associated with better outcomes and also less depression. And I could see that in life with my mom when she had cancer. She was really sick for a long time. She was always hopeful, always happy, always looking for the beauty of things. So she had that perseverance, and sometimes when I didn't, and I think that helped her, and she did better with her treatments, and she had good outcomes, and I think that was a big part of it. Character strengths are important for the field of positive psychology, and in turn, human well-being and optimal functioning. And to discuss this topic, we have invited Dr. William Johansson to join us today. Dr. Johansson is an assistant professor of newborn medicine and specializes in palliative care. Welcome, Will.
Hello, and thank you both for having me. I'm really happy to be here and see what I can include for you all.
No, thanks for joining us. And so tell us about yourself. What do you do every day at work, and where's your niche, and what's your passion, and at work and outside of work?
So I'd say for what I do at work, I'm primarily one of the clinical physicians on our pediatric advanced care team, or PACT team. It's a little bit easier to say. That clinical work can look very different depending on each patient. The main role that we play and provide for a lot of families here in the hospital is just that extra layer of support, because we truly can't imagine the stress that must come with having a child who is sick or has some level of chronic illness. Occasionally that support can look like symptom management in the realm of pain, nausea, and vomiting. Sometimes it can be advocating for them at family meetings. Occasionally we do get involved with end of life in the hospital or at home. So it's kind of a random grab bag, so to speak, with what each day is going to bring. The niche I'd say that I serve, quality improvement, is an interest and a passion of mine. So that's where I kind of throw my hat in one ring. And I'd say passion-wise at work, just the connections I get to make with patients we have the honor of serving, their families, other physicians that consult us. I also get to work with a group here called OutMed that works with advocacy in the LGBTQA plus community, which I find very, very valuable. And I'd say outside of work, I've been getting more into gardening, and luckily nothing is singed and burned outside now, so I'm happy about that. But I'm very close with my partner, and just enjoy spending time with him, traveling, and trying to keep up with both of our dogs and a cat. So it's a pretty full dance card.
Yeah, and I'm a witness to all that passion that you just talked about, because I've worked with you closely with the PACT, and you truly do display passion for your patients and good patient care, and we also had some fun times at Pride this year. Mm-hmm. And the care that you gave the students and the medical community, that and the support for that team was very good. Thank you for that. Well, and since this is a wellness podcast, we always ask this question to all our guests. You already mentioned gardening and some outdoor stuff with dogs and your partner, but we want to know what wellness means to you in general, and or what wellness looks like to you. What do you look like, or what's the vision of yourself at your best well self?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say the vision of myself and my best well self is probably one where I just feel at peace with where I am and the people who I'm with. I'm not having to kind of plan out or guess like what's the next thing they need to do, or what action or thing am I going to say? How's that going to be perceived? I'm a firm believer in just, I think wellness is kind of like a natural state that a lot of us hope to get to, but can be difficult, I think, sometimes to attain, because for whatever reason, we might be focused on a professional thing or a personal thing. But I'd say wellness to me is just, I think peace is the first thing that comes to mind. And then maybe a close second to that would be resiliency to kind of help maintain that peace.
Thanks for sharing that. So going back to today's topic, what would you say your character strengths are?
I would say the character strengths that I hope that I'm showing and that I think I have would probably be in the realm of anything involving communication, like an ability to just sit and listen to people. Again, in the professional realm, I think that helps me a lot, and it's what I try to bring to all my patients, just being able to sit down in situations that probably many people find unnerving or really sad or really scary. I think, like, personally as well, it's not like that gets shut off whenever I go home. I'm just interested in people and the stories that they have, be they positive or negative. And after taking the little test that you mentioned with the VA survey, I saw that one of my character strengths overwhelmingly is humor, which I would agree with. I hope others agree too, but I'd say those are the big ones.
Yeah, I took the test too. And I think it's interesting that you say you took the test. Was anything surprising?
It was. I think I was most surprised with not like the top of the list where like you're stellar or good is my take on it, but like maybe where you're not so stellar or good, kind of near the end of the list. And I was interested in seeing some areas that I thought I was really high up on, at least per my answers, it didn't pan out that way. And thought that was kind of interesting to see like what your expectations are versus like what the results are.
So for everyone, I want to remind you, Phil just mentioned above that you can go to viacharacter.org and you can take a test. You have to register, but it's free and you can take the test. And it's just very interesting. And I agree. My top one was love, which I guess I see that, but I don't know. I wanted other ones. So I can see how that could be surprising because, you know, I mean, all these character strengths are good, right? Like, yeah. These are character strengths that were chosen for good character. Like, they're things that are desirable, things that you want. They're associated with positive traits. But then it's funny how you want to pick and choose what you think you are, but then you answer that test and you have something and you're like, am I really that? And then you take it again just to make sure that you truly answer the questions correct, because I've taken it about 3 times and it always says the same. Sometimes one or two of the top value changes, but interesting. So you were to mention that your top strength is humor. So I'm interested to know if you are finding yourself using like that strength at some times, or now that you that came out, like you, if you think about it, did you think that, oh yeah, I kind of use that as a strength? And do you use it to try to cope with different things? Like, is that a trait that you may use to cope or not? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think the humor aspect, I definitely agree with. I think I was surprised to see it as one of the big strengths there, but I would say I use it on a daily basis, especially being on service, because it is how I cope, I think, with some of the more heavy-hitting things that we'll see throughout the day. And it's kind of funny because a lot of members on my team, I think that's a common strength and characteristic that we all share. I guess I found it interesting to see something that seemed like so second nature to who I am and who I get to work with actually was delineated out as like a specific character strength.
That's interesting. I wonder if like taking this test, like during your training, like during residency, whether maybe the beginning of residency and after the end of residency or any sort of training process will demonstrate some character strengths that, like, you know what? These character strengths go great with our PAC team, and maybe that's something that I should be using, or, you know.
Well, that's what I mentioned before, that there was that one study about the job satisfaction, that they actually suggested that there should be studies to use that when you're counseling, like especially when you're counseling adolescents into these are the jobs that probably fit best for you. So use character strengths for that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my top 5 were like love, honesty, kindness, learning, and hope. And I think I do agree with a lot of those, learning particularly, because I have this weird like hunger for learning. Every time I see something, I want to learn about it, and that's how I cope, by getting information. And I use that to try to go through difficult times. And you know, looking back at COVID, there were also some studies that show that during COVID, people actually changed their character strengths before and during and after. That was an interesting one. But during COVID, I could see how that learning and truly trying to separate what's true, what's fact, what's false, what's not real information was helpful for me to just get rid of the noise and continue moving forward. Hope for things to get better. I can see that all the time, and just also being just truthful. So I could see those. Do you find yourself using like other character strengths?
Yeah, I think that I'm seeing more of it as, well, after I did the survey, I feel like it actually put titles or names to things that I didn't have names for. So like the second one I think I scored highest on was appreciation of beauty and excellence, which I find interesting because one of the things that I tell myself and I had been taught during my fellowship for hospice and palliative care, and that I tell other people who do rotate with us, is that there's always a silver lining to anything. And I think a lot of the families that I get the honor of interacting with aren't familiar a lot with kind of seeing the beauty in really scary things or really sad things. And again, I think it's just how I would cope with what I would do, but to see it as a strength, I think I'm viewing that in a different light, to see, a child might have a terminal illness, but there's still beauty in the idea of, you know, can they do a Make-A-Wish trip? Or maybe there's still beauty in, will they have the ability to have a spa day or be with their family? And I think changing the lens through which you, like as a human, view a situation that normally you might be thrown off by, and trying to search out like what is beautiful, what is excellent about something that most people probably wouldn't think of, is something I do use very frequently, definitely professionally, and I think probably personally too, if I like really sat down and thought more about it.
With, you know, the patient population that you work with, you probably, well, you encounter for sure families, patients who are just so strong in their journey, and you will, I mean, inevitably learn from them. And that's the beauty of our job, your job specifically, is that our patients will really teach us a lot, and their families do as well. And as you sort of grow with these families in the months, years, during any chronic illness, or maybe, you know, an acute illness that all of a sudden the family did not expect to see, what strengths, or are there any particular strengths in families that you see that stick out, or any examples that have stuck out where that you can share?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that jumps to my mind are families who just live their truth, and they're very transparent. Like to your phrase about like the strength of these families, absolutely. I'm amazed by like the strength and resilience and bravery of these parents and these kids to be where they are. But I found it interesting where when I bring this up to two families, I get an answer a lot that is, it's exhausting being strong. And I really appreciate when a family has the ability or the transparency to really say what's on their mind. And I think that that's something I'm trying to work more on, because, you know, you only have like a set amount of time to do you. And I'm trying to be a lot more thoughtful on just being who I am and being transparent, because I think with those actions, you'll craft a future for yourself and be surrounded by like-minded people. I think that's kind of the strength that I am impressed a lot by in families, or that trait, just being transparent.
When you talk about relationships with your significant other, or when you see families where you bring up the point of, hey, I can only be this strong for this long for my family, when can I invite other people to step in? I think it's important that you are able to recognize the strengths in other people, but you'll only know to look for it if you're ready to look for it, and if you have the mindset to look for it, because I think that's the beauty of having these relationships. It could be just setting yourself around with friends who have different strengths than you do, and when you're in a place of clarity, to just take some time to just sit back and just maybe just jot down the group of your core folks and your peeps, and just be like, how are all these people intertwined in my life, and why is that? And how I sort of see that is, and using this, is maybe just identifying their character strengths through my lens, and then appreciating that, because I'm sure everyone brings something a little bit different. And when you're in a time where you aren't so well, and you aren't in a place to think well, is to then reach out to those folks who may be able to provide a little bit more of a stable, solid ground when you yourself feel uneasy and unwell. Just a thought. Do you have any other signature strengths? I mean, you mentioned humor. Catherine, what you know, outside of this, anything else stick out, or any
like
other
for
people?
Signature strengths?
Yeah.
For me?
Or your spouse. I'm just wondering if you don't mind sharing. Like, what?
Oh, I can share. I do know how. I have no problem sharing. I really like what Will mentioned about the families, because that goes out under like the courage, right? Like when you feel you're not strong enough and you have to say it, and that's goes under honesty, and that is courage. You have to have courage in order to admit that I need help. So I think sometimes that is viewed as a weakness, but it's kind of like a strength. I go back to that. I'm not happy with my top five, But I mean, I'm not unhappy, but I think if I would have had to choose my signature strength, I would have said that my signature strength is perseverance. I think I'm pretty resilient. I can be in a bad situation. I can be positive as heck, which can be, I probably can be annoying for a lot of people, but I cope. Like, I can stop and say, okay, we're going to have a good day. This is going to be great. And turn it around. I know my kids roll their eyes when I start saying, I have a thing in the door, at the door. So when they leave, it says today is a new day. Tomorrow, yesterday is gone. And just go out there, be happy. It's your second chance. Every day is a second chance. So I have it written in chalk. Every day is a second chance. And they have to read that on their way out every single day. And then they're positive and they're rolling their eyes and they're not happy. But I hope that they can see that in me. So yeah, that I would say that would be my signature strength. And then my spouse.
You don't have to answer that. I mean, I was just...
I have to think about that. I have to think about that a little bit.
The reason
more.
I brought that up is, like, you know, how easy it is to, like, you know, if you're in a pickle and you realize, like, you know what, my friend or my spouse or whoever it is, like, how easy it is for you to recognize other people's strengths. I mean, do you find it easy, Will, when you look at somebody, how quickly can you identify a strength in a relationship?
I think it's a good question because I'm a big proponent of, like, perception. Like, what I might perceive as a strength might not be that person's own perception. So I actually think, like, the survey and the questionnaire you all have, I'd be fascinated to see if, like, you gave that out to other people, like a spouse or someone they worked with, to see if that would be the same as the person who filled it out for themselves. That all being said, I think that I personally probably gravitate towards seeing strengths in others because I just like to believe, like, that's what most people present with. But again, I think I have to rethink my assessment of those things after seeing, like, the structure. These are, like, the different strengths and values because I think that that provides good, like, buckets to put each one into. But yeah, the short answer is I think, yeah, I'm pretty apt to saying, like, that seems like a strength in this person I'm just now meeting or maybe I've known for a while.
And I think that's important. It's important to also learn to identify and spot strengths first, because I think we tend to spot weaknesses first. And a lot of people, everybody's different. But I've met people that say, when, you know, I meet somebody new and immediately you look at the person head to toe and you already have an opinion of them,
yeah,
in your head.
Yeah, you have your biases.
Before they even open their mouth. So you have an opinion of what they look like. Then they start talking and then you start sometimes seeing what's negative. And I think that depends on your mood, on how cranky you are that day. Maybe I'm biased. Somebody told you something about that person. And then you start spotting negative things first, as opposed to trying to look for the positive. That also happens with coworkers, right? So, or maybe because you have someone that you already know kind of like their weaknesses of how they work, but you show up to work and then the first thing is like, I work with Phil and this is inventing. I don't think this is real for Phil, but let's say I go to clinic and Phil is always talking or is interrupting me or using or borrowing my stuff and not being on track and I don't know. So if I already go to clinic and I see Phil sitting there and I'm like going to be, there's Phil. I'm going to have a bad day. Instead of turning it around and saying, no, wait a minute. I'm going to try intentionally to, what are Phil's good things? I'm going to focus on that. That truly happens too with nurses, right? You work with nurses or you work with staff and you go there and sometimes you're upset. I don't want to work with this nurse today. But because of something that happened maybe once or something somebody told you, and instead of focusing on the positive that that person has because it can change your whole day and your whole experience. And it can be personal too. Like, you know, you go with a friend that you think, this person's gonna be annoying, they're gonna talk too much, they're gonna say inappropriate jokes, but maybe they don't do any of that. And you're just setting yourself up for a bad situation instead of spotting their strength, how that person is positive, or how they're caring, and how they're kind, or how they're a good friend. And maybe that'll change the way you interact that day with them. You just tend to focus on the negative. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you bring us some good points. And what I think is that you go into situations using some element of cognitive reframing. You see a situation and you have to twist it in your mind and really focus on the strengths and the present moment and how this moment could get better, and using the other person's strengths and your own strengths to help achieve the goals that you have set forth for the day or whatever instance that you're in. Do you have any thoughts, Will?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting observation, because I think that with people, I feel like we're more apt to look at the negatives or like the weaknesses or what we've heard from someone. And I think it takes work and insight to not like fall into that. I'm interested in the phrasing too that you mentioned, like, these are the strengths or these are the things that, you know, we'll say weakness is not a positive. I think that, like, as people, again, perspective, when I think about seeing someone and not immediately having like a strength that comes to mind, that's probably like a weakness I actually have, where like I'm drawn toward like, I heard they're annoying, or I heard that like they're A, B, or C. And I always try to figure out what's like the action item that you can do with that. And if it's just like an observation and maybe you want to vent to someone, fair, I think there's probably more like efficient or useful action items that might be like, maybe I should make my own my own thoughts on this person, or maybe I should reach out to them on something that I heard that they struggle with to see if I can help them, or vice versa. It takes energy though, and it's definitely much, much more difficult than just talking about it here.
Absolutely. It's intentional, right?
Yes.
Because then like for consults, for example, you go and do a consult, and this is hypothetical. You're going to come see me and you're like, there she is. She's going to be annoying. She's going to tell me no, or she's going to be negative about this. You immediately are seeing my weaknesses instead of maybe not today. Let me look at her strengths. What are her strengths? And that will improve our relationship and the experience. But that can happen with other things like meetings. You go to a meeting and present a project, or somebody's presenting a project to you, and you immediately start thinking about why is this not going to work, instead of twisting it around.
So do you feel you tend to spot strengths or weaknesses first in general situations? And is the outcome different when you do either of those first?
Yeah, I think in general situations where I'm working, I do think that I lean more toward looking at strengths first. And I wonder if that's just because like the nature of what we do and the connections we try to make, it's much easier to connect with someone on strengths than I feel like some of their weaknesses might be. Outside of work, I think it's kind of up in the air. Like if I'm out and see someone, I can't promise that I'm not going to immediately have like this is probably something that I'm not a big fan of, or kind of going and focus on that weakness. I think the outcome is very different between the two of them, because if I lead with looking towards strengths first, and that's what I'm searching out, I think that provides and sets a tone of interest and like building blocks of a desire to get to know someone even more from just like a human perspective. Whereas I think if you lead with looking at the weaknesses or the not so positive things, I don't really see a situation in which more negative data points are going to want someone to like delve in deeper. But that's the first time I've like actually said it and thought about it. So I'll have to keep thinking and get back to you.
And I find myself that I leave sometimes happier. Like, you know, if you go to any meeting and somebody presents a project that is completely different than what you had thought, and if I just find all the negative stuff, I will, and it has to happen, like something that, you know, a change that's coming, I will approach it perhaps in a negative way. But if I start seeing, maybe this will work, let me give this a chance. Okay, what are the good things about this project? Where is it coming from? Where the ideas coming from? I find myself a little bit more receptive, and then I can address the negative, right? Like, well, you know, these are the things I'm concerned about, but then I find myself more willing to give it a chance and go at it with a positive attitude.
And with that, you know, we strongly believe that overall exploring our strengths and other strengths and people or situations will lead to improvement in our own general well-being. And our call to action is to explore your character strengths. Take the test and start brainstorming on how to develop those strengths so that you can use them when you're going through those tough times.
Also, when evaluating yourself, another person, place, or a situation, try to focus on what is strong versus what is wrong. Spot strengths before weaknesses. Then use your strengths or build upon someone else's strengths. You actually can do that. You can develop your own strengths. You can work on them and then remember what they are in times of trouble. Examples that you can use at work are, instead of seeing everything that is wrong at the office, the lab, or in clinic, spot what is right and build on that. Instead of thinking of the negative characteristics of the person you are working with that day, think about their strengths and see how you can help them thrive, how you can teach them that they have strengths that you see. When looking at a new project or idea, instead of seeing how it's not going to work, that we just talked about that, look for the positive and strengths of the project or idea. And when offered a new opportunity, that this is a big one, instead of thinking of the qualifications you are missing, why don't you think about your strengths? Think about the things that you actually do have and how you can use your strengths to make it work. I've fallen for that. Like sometimes I have an opportunity and I said, I don't think I can do that. But
yeah. So essentially you train yourself. You train yourself to spot strengths first and yourself and others, and then take time to share what you learned today and initiate a discussion. So thanks, Will. Thanks for being here, and thank you for supporting a wellness movement and taking the time out of your day to show out.
Yeah, thank you both for having me, and it was an interesting conversation. I hope we'd have more.
Well, thank you to everyone listening and joining in. Thank you, Will, so much again for being here and participating in an Out With Burnout movement. See you next time, and cheers to all wellness.
Cheers.